Hello and welcome to the TES podcast. I'm reporter Dave Speck and joining me is reporter Amy Gibbons. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Got reporter John Roberts. Hiya, John.
Hello there.
We've got reporter Catherine Love. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, hello.
Now, coming up, we look at warnings about potentially a huge workload for heads and teachers in the summer holidays on GCSE appeals. And are face masks in schools about to come off? And on this, is the government yet again ignoring teachers' advice? But first, we're hearing that the workload that teachers are doing on GCSE assessments is absolutely horrendous. And the irony is that under normal circumstances, they'd get paid for marking exams and coming up with grades. But now, this year, they're effectively doing it for free on top of their existing workload. John, does this sound right to you?
I mean, it's an incredible sort of end to an incredible year for teachers, I think, isn't it? Because we've seen the profession basically be asked to do more and more to cope with the COVID crisis. And in this term, as you say, they are basically kind of providing all the work of the assessment system. So they are, you know, producing
the exam boards.
Yeah, kind of substituting all of the processes that would normally happen. And as you say, they're being expected to do it as part of the day job. I think the scale of the work they're doing now is, we're going to get a sense, I think, in the weeks to come of exactly how it's playing out. But I get a sense of two things, really. One is that it's a huge ask, and it's a huge ask that's been dropped on them in the last minute. This could have been done over months, but it's effectively been done in days and weeks because of the government's U-turn at the turn of the year. But the other thing I kind of get the sense is that teachers do want to step up and do it. Do you know what I mean? Their job is to kind of provide for these young people and get the best outcomes for them they can. And I think they want to do this job well. And so I get the sense that there's a kind of a determination to do this as well as possible, even though it's a kind of an 11th hour process and an enormous amount of extra work.
Yeah, I mean, we do know that a lot of teachers are struggling, really struggling to gather evidence for pupils where they've been absent, you know, for long periods. And I mean, I know, Catherine, you interviewed Ian Balcombe, the Ofqual chair. Was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. But anyway, he's told you about this kind of, in these final few weeks before the deadline for submitting grades, his advice is not to just test when it comes to assessments. But I was thinking, what other kind of ways there to gather information if you haven't got any?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say he wasn't saying don't test at all. So so he did say that where schools do lack evidence for GCSE students, A-level students, then they certainly should be trying to kind of use this time to gather evidence. But he then did go on to say that there had been, you know, kind of media reports of schools running kind of full sets of mock exams. I covered some of that myself, where they were doing that, and I think sort of once again it's a little bit of a disconnect between what maybe Ofqual or the government are saying about this process, and then on the ground how schools are sort of having to carry it out. So the reaction so far from that story has been sort of quite a few head teachers on social media saying, well look, you know, In terms of not testing all the time, we have students where they need to get this particular set of grades for their university offer, and we don't currently have that evidence for them. So of course we're going to be running exams. So I don't know how well that's gone down, that sort of message about, well, don't spend all this time testing. I mean, I take his point that that schools had additional time. The grade submission date is a lot later than what GCSE.
What is the date? I'm sure a lot of teachers know it, but just
it's the 18th of June.
Yeah.
So that is much later in the school year than you know, that the usual exam dates, you know, GCSEs would have been starting now, really.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so his argument is, well, that additional time is to be used for teaching, not just testing. You know, it should also be about covering the course. I suppose the issue with that is that while there is an additional 6 weeks, you also have the fact that obviously, as you were saying just now, Dave, that a lot of students have missed other time in their courses. And you know, schools very well might lack the evidence that they need for them, and then you can well understand why they would be carrying out lots of controlled tasks at the moment, so that they have that evidence for the grades.
Yeah, you get the feeling that, I mean, teachers are caught between a rock and a hard place, that, you know, that if there is grade inflation this summer, that the teachers are going to get blamed for it. But if there isn't grade inflation, then the other side of that coin is that there could be a lot of appeals. And we've seen head teachers warning this week that there could be potentially a huge amount of work on in the summer holidays for heads and teachers, you know, in coming in to sort out this appeals process. And John, this is a time when teachers really need the summer holiday, isn't it?
I mean, yes, absolutely. And it's kind of a knock-on effect of what we've just talked about. Because teachers are such an integral part of the way the grades are being arrived at and schools are, they are inevitably going to be the people that are under scrutiny and having to do the work to resolving appeals. And I think there's a real nervousness in the sector that's reflected in the piece you did, that that is kind of an unknown in a way, as you say, the extent to which we're going to see appeals, but also the extent to how what the process is going to look like and how much time that's going to take up in the holidays at a time when, you know, we're constantly hearing warnings about teacher burnout, about school leaders are considering early retirement.
Yeah.
And I think if... Two things that strike me about this is, if it goes south on results day and there's an adverse reaction in either direction, either kids disappointed in grades or teacher inflation, I think then we might see a real backlash, because schools will be like, well, we've been put in this position, we've followed your instructions to the letter, and now we're the ones who are going to, you know, who are kind of having the finger of blame pointed at us. Like last year, it was very much either Ofqual's handling of it or the DfE's stewardship of it all that was the kind of the focus of the anger. It strikes me that the way the process has been done, teachers are potentially kind of in the firing line a little bit. Yeah. And if they get that and a huge amount of workload in the summer, it's going to be a huge fallout and I think a really painful process for the sector. And for the DfE as well.
In light of all that, you've got this pay freeze, and then as well, you think, what sort of state is the teacher morale going to be in September when they come back?
I think it's hard, isn't it? Because it's so difficult to see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel at this stage. It's been such a long time. Even if we think back to over the Christmas holidays, where teachers had to carry on working for this kind of track and trace operation. And then we're looking through to the summer holidays and we've got this kind of appeals workload on the horizon too. I can completely understand why teachers would be feeling overwhelmed by it all, because there just doesn't seem to be any end to this. This may be going on for years yet, you know, this kind of extra catch-up work that they'll need to do. So it is a stressful time.
And then, of course, we've got the autumn exam series, which has just been announced, hasn't it, Catherine, this week? And we do know that, okay, so GCSE A-level and some AS exams will be going ahead for students on top of who've already been awarded their teacher assessed grades this summer. And the exams will be in the usual format, And students will be able to keep the higher of the two grades. So we know all that now. But Catherine, the heads' unions have expressed opposition to that, haven't they?
Yeah. So there's some quite a strongly worded comment from Jeff Barton from the Association of School College Leaders, where he said that he thought it had been a kind of public relations exercise in sort of arranging this autumn series. And he sort of made the point that realistically, if exams were cancelled because they could not possibly be fair this summer because of all the learning loss that students have experienced, how can you then, you know, only a few months later run a full series? And that doesn't quite tally and doesn't make sense. And he also kind of spoke about the additional pressure that's going to place on schools and teachers, you know, coming into a new academic year with lots of other things to look at, for example, sort of supporting students with COVID catch-up and recovery. So I think, I think it wasn't kind of well received by the profession and by her teachers, because there is that sort of that confusion really about, well, exams are either fair to run and safe to run this year or they're not. And so I think that I understand the rationale behind it. There's that sense that for students it's fair, you know, if they can take a paper and they want to do that, you know, and they want to see how they would have done and get that kind of satisfaction of having sat a paper, for their grade, then that makes sense for students. But it doesn't quite make sense in terms of the sort of the unfairness within the system. The whole reason behind cancelling exams this year was the fact that they said, you know, students have missed too much time at school. It won't be fair to run them. And so to run them, you know, not that long after when they would have been done.
It's just not a level playing field still, is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's all those stories are on our website, and please do give them a read if you've got a minute. But moving on, masks. It's a huge part of the school life now, in secondary schools anyway. But could the masks be about to come off despite teacher opposition, Amy? I know this is something you're aware of. This is a story you're aware of. Is the government not listening to teachers on this again, yet again?
Big news this week. So Gavin Williamson has confirmed that the plan is to scrap masks in secondary school classrooms no earlier than the 17th of May. So that's I think that's stage three of exiting the lockdown. And it's had a bit of a mixed reaction. So some people might say, yes, that is ignoring teachers, because only a few days ago there was a letter published by or signed by the NEU and the NASUWT as well, two big teaching unions, saying that we really shouldn't be getting rid of masks in classrooms anytime soon. I think they were saying it probably shouldn't be before some point in June. Yep. And this was after sort of Nick Gibbard alluded to the fact that they may well come off in May. And then Gavin Williamson has come out and said, yes, this is going ahead. So I think those teachers will be disappointed. I mean, that's certainly what Kevin Courtney, who's the Joint General Secretary of the NEU, said. He said they were disappointed the government had not taken advice. The letter, I should note, was also signed by a lot of scientists. So it wasn't just unions that were saying they were concerned about this. But then we also had the heads unions come back, and the Association of School and College Leaders, General Secretary Jeff Barton, said it is obviously better for communication and learning if we don't need to have children wearing face masks in classrooms. So they're not keen for them to kind of stick around any longer than they need to.
We've talked about this before. It must be so difficult if you're a French teacher or an English teacher. It's such a hindrance to have everybody wearing masks. I mean, teaching must be impossible under some circumstances. And I bet there's loads of teachers who are really, you know, looking forward to that day, May the 17th or whatever it is. But I know that the unions have expressed extreme caution. Possibly that's the wrong word, but...
Well, I think the NEU certainly and the NASUWT, they're very cautious. Well, everyone's cautious, but I think the heads unions, they're kind of more interested in, can the government give us the clear scientific advice kind of behind this decision, so that everything is really transparent, so we understand why the decision is being made, why it's safe at this point. And then that will probably just help heads and teachers feel a bit more comfortable with the change. If they can see that it is definitely safe, or it's very, very likely to be safe at this stage, then perhaps that will reduce some anxiety a bit.
Yeah, very quickly. Just one thing that struck me about it was that I saw a couple of teachers on social media sort of saying, and I suppose this is a challenge whenever the government looks to unlock something a little bit, basically saying the government are saying that levels in schools have remained low, so on that basis we can relax the masks rule. But they were saying that they feel like the significant change this term has been the masks rule, and possibly the reason levels haven't risen in schools is because masks have been worn more commonly in secondary schools. And so you're effectively, the argument being, you're using the effectiveness of a safety measure to remove it, if that makes sense. Like, you're saying COVID isn't transmitting in schools very much, so we can relax masks. What if masks is the very reason that COVID is staying in check? But in the government's defense, that's a rationale for staying in lockdown forever. You know, it's... Yeah, and as you say, from an education point of view, I think probably the sector's united that this is a practical problem, but it's whether it's also a kind of a health necessity. And I suppose we'll only know in the weeks and months ahead what effect it has.
When the weekly attendance figures came out on Tuesday, it was interesting to see that the number of pupils off for COVID reasons is double, it's doubled in a week. So that would indicate that, you know, it's not the right time to remove masks, arguably. I mean, we've still got another 10 days until the 17th of May, haven't we? So a week on Monday when I think that's the date that possibly may be announced. I know that's been mentioned in the past, but we'll have to see what the attendance figures are next week. I mean, that may have a bit.
I mean, I suppose like nationally, COVID is at a much lower level than it was, you know, when we were having these conversations in January. So even if we see an uptick, it's not going to have the kind of disruption implications that we saw when the sector felt like it was almost in crisis for about 2.5 months solid. But nonetheless, I can well imagine if I was a teacher and you've been campaigning for a safety measure and you finally get it, everything seems to be relatively stable and the government wants to make it a little less safe. I can see why that would cause you disquiet.
Yeah, and I mean, something else that the unions raised in the story that we did was whether schools are going to kind of have any leeway in terms of the new version of the guidance. I think the wording is going to be really appropriate, important, because if they come out and say you absolutely cannot have masks in classrooms anymore, because I think originally that was, you know, you weren't supposed to have masks in classrooms at all. And then obviously it was introduced as guidance. So if it goes the other way, I think that will be, putting schools in a very difficult position if they feel like that as an extra safety measure is kind of benefiting their school. So it'll be interesting to see when the kind of new version of the guidance does come out, how exactly schools will be able to kind of interpret it.
Yeah, just tell us, Amy, about this court case this week, where I think it was a 12-year-old student took her Academy Trust to court over having to wear face masks. What happened there? What was the outcome?
Yeah, so just 12 years old, she brought legal action against, we can't name the school because we need to be careful about identifying
the girl. We do know the trust though, don't we?
But we do know the trust, yeah, Tapton School Academy Trust, and that runs a lot of primary and secondary schools in sort of the Sheffield area, so around there. And she brought legal action against the trust to stop it from requiring or encouraging kids to wear masks at school. She's basically worried that the masks risk causing serious harm to children's physical and mental health. She thinks that, you know, it can do a lot of damage in the long term. But actually, the Academy Trust came out on top because the judge's view was that the school's, you know, the policy was not kind of forced children to wear masks.
Yes, it was guidance only.
And also that the student, the girl in question, she wasn't actually required to wear a mask. And the injunction wasn't necessary to protect her health and safety because she was actually exempt. So one of the things he said is that the judge made no conclusions whatsoever as to the safety or otherwise of requiring children to wear face masks in school. That's not really what it was about. He kind of looked at this individual girl's case and decided, you know, she's exempt. So the injunction is not necessary to keep her safe.
Do we know on what grounds she was exempt? Presumably she had an illness or something or...
Yeah, it's not actually specified as far as I can tell, so not too sure, but she certainly was. Yeah, she wasn't required to wear one. Interestingly, actually, I noticed in the story that the court previously heard that 120 members of staff across the trust's various schools,
I saw that,
and more than 10% of the staff had contracted COVID. So you can probably understand why the school was quite keen to keep masks in force, as they've had quite a high rate of teachers catch the virus. But it goes to show, doesn't it, that it's... it is still contentious whether, you know, students can be forced to wear masks or kind of follow certain COVID rules. And I think that was always going to be the case. Interesting to see that in this case, though, that the Academy Trust has kind of has won and no action will be taken against them.
Well, it all just seems a bit of just seems to me kind of a lot of doom and gloom about this week. Don't even think we've got a happy story to end on, even. But keep smiling, and we shall see you all again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.